presence. Amen. You can know all about him. You can know all the right things to say, the right cliches, the right phrases. But if you don't know him, amen, there's something more than just knowing about him. There's something more than just knowing the word, having all the right answers to the questions. But how many know we must know him in a personal relationship and an experience of his presence in our life, amen, on a daily basis. Hallelujah. I wouldn't know how to live any other way or to live without him. Amen. Hallelujah. Because it becomes such a part of who you are and a part of your response. And, you know, I find myself all throughout my day praying or saying a prayer for this one or that one, or that one comes to my mind and, you know, I'll say a prayer. And, you know, it's just a part of our daily life. It's a part of our being. It's a part of who we are. Amen. So I'm thankful for his presence. Hallelujah. I wanted to read you just a little note from Outreach for Youth, and that's one of the ministries that we support with the money that the kids collect. We call it a penny march, but I hate to say penny march because you can give quarters and nickels and dollars and $50 bills, $100 bills. I mean, we take whatever. It doesn't have to just be pennies. And I found out if you wave paper at the kids, they can see you that you have it, you know, and they'll come get it. And they love to carry that paper money down here, too. So anyway, one of the ministries that we do support through that, all that money goes to missions. Says, another year has come and gone, and we at Outreach for Youth want to thank you for your continued support. Your prayers and financial contributions are what keep Outreach going year to year. Unfortunately, the need for establishment like ours continues to grow, and meeting those needs has not gotten any easier. The world and our nation's events make the revelation of Jesus Christ in these young men's lives so much more important. The words we read in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Give us the hope and strength to continue each day. Please continue to pray for us as new seasons are always coming. And that's sincerely from Steve Maldonado and the Outreach staff. So they want to extend their thank you to you personally for your contributions that you give to them throughout the year. Also, I want to let you know, also I mentioned it last week, that they are in need of a 15-passenger van for transporting the men and those that they're in the care of. So pray with us on that, that God will open a door for them to have a 15-passenger van. If you have any connections, you know of one, or somebody that wants to give a 15-passenger van to a good organization, amen, they'll take it. So amen. I believe God can provide that. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So when you're giving and you see the smile on those children's faces coming to gather up that money, you can be sure that that money is going to help. And the program that Outreach for Youth is out there is a drug rehabilitation program. They take people who are transitioning in life, transitioning from possibly being incarcerated back into everyday life, and they help them make that transition, and they minister to people who have dealt with drug abuse and alcohol abuse and all kinds of things. So it's a valid ministry. It's one we've known for a very long time. Pastor Maldonado and Margie, Victor and Margie, have been lifelong friends of this church and of my parents and my family for a long time, and they are sold out to God. Amen. So you can be sure that your money is going in good places. Also, we support Pastor Joe Garza, who does missions in Mexico and Nicaragua and also runs an orphanage out of Mexico. So they are both valid ministry, valid men and women of God. And so you are sowing seed into good ground when you give that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we talked last Sunday, and I'm going to go to Matthew 2 and verse 11 just to open up again. And this was something the Lord has kind of laid on my heart just in the last couple months, and maybe he's just speaking it to me, okay? So I'll just let you hear what the Lord is speaking to me, but and it's concerning, it was the scripture the Lord brought to me about the wise men, and so even though that's kind of connected with the Christmas story, how many know it's not just a one-time-year kind of story? Hallelujah. We could preach the nativity story every Sunday and still have received the message of the gospel of what Christ came to do in a little town called Bethlehem. But I titled the sermon last week, Wise Men Bring Gifts. And I want to think about it and talk about that in light of that again this Sunday, because as you know, I didn't get finished last Sunday. I have a habit of doing that, not finishing, but that's okay. Because I feel like the Lord laid a lot of scripture on my heart about it. And so I just want to visit that and share with you about that. How many of the Lord challenged us last Sunday? Amen. Challenged us in our giving, challenged us in our talents, challenged us in our vision. Amen. Do we have any visionaries in here this morning? Anybody have a vision for what you want to see God do in this house and in this day and in this season? Hallelujah. I believe one of the good is the enemy of greatness. Amen. I believe sometimes we can settle for good. I believe we can settle for comfortable. We get comfortable and we get in a good place. And how many know when you get comfortable, it's hard to go on from there? We're not very productive sometimes when you get in that place of comfortable. Dan will say to me sometimes, honey, you want to come watch this show with me? And I say, sure. And I have all great intentions of watching that show with him. But I get comfortable on the couch and I get that fuzzy blanket. And before you know it, I'm asleep. How many know I'm not very productive from that point on? I'm there with him in spirit, but I can't stay awake. It's just, you know, I get comfortable. Amen. Am I the only one in the house that does that? By the time I make it to the couch in the evening, the TV is not my priority usually. And I have every intention sometimes of doing it. So sometimes I have to make myself sit up in the chair so I'm not as comfortable so I can finish that show. That doesn't work either. Amen. And so the Lord challenged us last week with some scriptures, and I want to revisit just a couple of those this morning, and then I want to move on a little bit. And we were talking about bringing gifts, and we're talking about, and that bringing our gifts to the Lord is can be in so many ways, okay? It can be looked at in so many different opportunities in so many ways. So let's go ahead and read Matthew 2 and 11. It says, and when they were come, we're talking about who here? The wise men. How many were there? Good answer. We don't know. How many gifts did they bring? We don't know. We don't know. It says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. I mean, no, first of all, we know they didn't come to the manger. They came to the house where the young child was. So they came somewhat after the nativity, or actually at the birth. We sometimes see the nativity, and we see the shepherds on one side, and we see the wise men on the other side. And that's, by all accounts, probably not scriptural, because the wise men came from afar and traveled a distance and didn't come until till they came to the house where they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. It says, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. It doesn't tell us three gifts. It just tells us what kind of gifts they presented to him. They presented him gifts in the nature of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Hallelujah. So we don't know how many wise men necessarily came. We sing We Three Kings. And how many know we have based a whole lot of doctrine in the church on a song that may not have been scriptural? Amen. We sing We Three Kings. We assume because there were three gifts that there were probably three kings. But if you go back and look at the history of it, chances are it was quite a caravan of people who came into town that made no small stir, that got the attention of Herod, so that when they left looking for this king, that these people had traveled such a distance and went to such efforts to bring, as it were, probably a wagon load, not a wagon, but a caravan, camels laden with gifts that were of the nature of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Another reason that we know that they came after the time of Bethlehem and were not at the manger is because when Mary and Joseph went to offer their sacrifice at the time of her purification, they offered what? A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And what do we know about that offering? that it was a poor man's offering. Obviously, the wise men had not made it yet to their house, because when they came bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. How many know wise men bring gifts? Hallelujah. Wise men bring gifts. And they brought gifts of the nature of gold and frankincense and myrrh. How many know these were very costly and very expensive items that these wise men would have brought to the baby Jesus? Another translation says, and when they opened their luggage, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Hallelujah. But it's in the verse, in the line before that, it says, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And as a part of their worship, and in their worship of him, of seeing this one who was born king of the Jews, then as they worshiped him, and as a part of their worship, they opened their treasures and they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. How many know giving is a part of worship? It's a part of your worship, presenting unto him, giving of your gifts. And so what I challenged this last week is to think about our giving in the sense that wise men bring gifts and they offer gifts to him. Hallelujah. And we're coming with a heart that says, I'm not just coming in today into the house to receive something of God. I'm coming to bring something. I'm coming to impart something. I'm coming to offer something unto him. I'm coming with a heart of giving. Lord, I didn't just come today to ask you for anything, but I just came to be a part of fellowship. I come to pour out my heart, my praise to you. I come in a heart of worship to fall down before you. And as an act of my worship, I want to pour out whatever is in me. I want to give to you. I want to bless you. I want to honor you as king this morning. How many know he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our life? Hallelujah. And so we come with a mindset. And so the Lord has really challenged me not to just come into his presence and come into that place of worship saying, Lord, give to me. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. But to say, Lord, what can I bring to this house? What can I offer? What incense, what spice can I add to this house? Amen. That becomes a blessing to you and becomes a blessing to his house. How many know when we bless his people, we bless him? When we bless his house, we bless him. Hallelujah. And so we know that it's a part of our praise and our worship, and they presented unto him gifts. Hallelujah. I mean, a wise men still seek him. Hallelujah. They return another way after they've been in an encounter with the king. And they empty their luggage. And they follow patterns that are in the heavens. Hallelujah. And so we talked about our giving, not only of our tithes and our offerings, but also of our talents, our treasures. I mean, everyone in this house has a gifting, has a talent, has a treasure. Some have we know that there are spiritual gifts. We know there are gifts of healing. There's a gift of knowledge. There's a gift of tongues and interpretation and prophecy and all of those things. How many know they're in the house? Amen. We also have talents even beyond that. We have those who are talented in arts. We have those who are talented in music. We have those who are talented in the word. We have those who are talented with their hands. Those who are talented, in craftiness. Those who are talented with children. Those who have giftings that God has placed in us. How many know the giftings that God places in you aren't just for your own use? How many know we are blessed to be a blessing? We are blessed to bless. Hallelujah. And so, I always used to think of that scripture, and it says it's more blessed or blessed to give than to receive. And as a child, I used to think of that, and I think, I don't know who thought that up, because everybody knows that's backwards, right? Oh, yeah, it's more blessed to give than to receive. No, when you're a child, you want to receive. How many know that's a childlike mentality? But what I come to find out is it is more of a blessing to be in a position to give than it is to be in the position to have to be the one to have to receive. Do you understand what I'm saying? And everybody in this house probably can raise their hand and say, I've been on the end when I had to receive. When I needed help, when I needed, whether it was financial help or whatever it is, but how many know how much more of a blessing it is to be on the other end of and saying, let me just be a blessing to you. Let me give out of my abundance. Let me bless you with what God has blessed me on. And I found out it really is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blessings that I have received. Thank God for every opportunity that He has met my need above and beyond what I could comprehend. But thank God for the opportunity in my life now to have an abundance where I can be one to give and not just have to be on the end of receiving. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we understand that that is a blessing. We understand that that is a giving. Hallelujah. And if you're not at that place yet, you'll get there. I mean, I told you last Sunday that you're being set up. It's a setup. Hallelujah. This is the greatest opportunity. It's the greatest investment system that you'll find. Hallelujah. How many know the stock market is not reliable? If you haven't seen that lately, you might notice that in the newspaper, on the news, it's not reliable. How many know the whole world is watching the stock market? But one of the greatest systems I know that you can invest in is to invest in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Because there's always a return on what you give. The scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. I believe that's in Luke chapter 6. I mean, know when we give into the kingdom of God, His promises are to give back unto us. How many can raise your hand in here this morning and say, I can tell you of times in my life where I obeyed God when God spoke and said, go here, meet this need, give this extra, put this in the offering, or do something, and you did, and God brought a return on what you give. Now, you know, we don't just give with that mentality, well, I'm going to give this, and I'm going to see if I can't get God to give back to me. It's just the way it works. When I give, God pours back into me. He said, I believe the psalmist said, I was young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. I don't believe we're forsaken. I don't believe we have to beg for bread. I believe that we can live as kings and priests unto God in this kingdom, in this earth right now. Amen. And so we hear a lot of talk about tithings and offerings and giftings and things like that. And people get all nervous when you talk about that. But how many know we don't have to give into the house of God? You get to give. That's a different mentality. Amen? I'm not going to put you under a curse. I'm not going to, you know, pray God sick the Holy Ghost on you. None of that kind of stuff. I'm just going to tell you it's the greatest opportunity that you'll ever receive. And I shared a little bit with you last week just some of my my testimony of how God has proved Himself faithful to me. Even as a young girl in my tithing and giving, God brought back to me. I had given money into the offering as a little girl. I got put my hands down on the couch. I had all the money that I could hold. I knew God had put that money right there for me right then and for that season. Amen. But here's the thing is I was hooked from that time on because I'm like, this stuff really works. This stuff really works. Is there anybody in the house that can raise your hand and say, this stuff works? I don't give because I have to. I give because I know the faithfulness of God, and I know where God has brought me from where I used to be to where I am today. It is no credit of my own. It's nothing that I can boast in. It's not even my own sweat or labor, but it is by the grace and the gifting of God that He has blessed us to the point that we are a blessed people in this house. Amen. This is a blessed house. This is a house that gives. Hallelujah. And so we talk about, you know, well, tithing and giving and things like that. That's Old Testament. You know, under the Old Testament, you're cursed if you don't give and all of those kind of things. But how many know even under the Old Testament, go ahead and bring up Malachi 3, 10 through 12. One of the most popular scriptures for tithing. And how many, this is an old covenant, an Old Testament scripture. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. He said, go ahead and try me, prove me, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many are ready for that word of the Lord to be alive and active in your life? How many know that's old covenant, old order? Amen? Go ahead, next verse. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. How many know that's an old order covenant? Now, you can go back on and read that whole scripture, and I challenge you to go ahead and read the whole scripture. We did read that last week, and everybody says, well, you know, that's Old Testament, Old Covenant. We're not under that now. We're in the New Testament. We're in the New Covenant and all of those kind of things. But how many know on the day of Pentecost, after the power of the Holy Spirit had come in the upper room, and the 120 were all in one accord, the scripture says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and sat upon him, and they spake with other tongues, and the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, came and filled the room. And how many know there was a change that took place in Peter? Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times, who was unsure of himself, who, you know, the life of Peter and how that all went. But how many know on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was fully come, the scripture said, and there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house. The scripture says Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and said, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. And he stands up after the infilling of the Holy Spirit and says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. This Jesus who you crucified is alive and well. And how many know the scripture tells us that on the day of Pentecost, after the crucifixion, 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom? That's a pretty successful revival, wouldn't you say? Hallelujah. And what you'll find out in Acts 2:43 through 45, it tells us they were so convinced by the message they preached. They were so convinced by the gospel of Jesus Christ and what they had experienced that the scripture tells us that they sold all their possessions and had all things common. Now, we can say tithing and giving is old order, but how many know under the new covenant, they sold it all and brought it? That's another mindset. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we want to say, well, you know, that's old order. But how many know the same promises that are true in Malachi are the same promises that are true in the book of Acts? Do you believe that? Hallelujah. But I want to talk about a couple people today, even in the New Testament. I want to talk about some people who came with a mindset to give. Wise men bring gifts. Amen. They came into the situation not with an empty cup or an empty bag waiting to receive, but when they came in the presence of Jesus, they came with their gifts and they came with their hands full. Go ahead and go to Luke chapter 7 for me, Carlin. It don't help, I don't think. I bought a new watch with a really big face, but the hand is so small and the numbers that I still can't read it. So I'm going to have to get me one to put up on the back of the wall back there that that I can see, because this one gets a glare on it. So somebody wave your hand when you get hungry today. I'll hear your belly growl and we'll know it's time to go. How about that? Huh? Yeah. It is on the top of my iPad. Shh, Jason. What's that? No excuses. All right, Jason says the time is on the top of my iPad. No excuses. All right. Here we go. So here we are in Luke chapter 7. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now, can I say to you that this is a little bit different mindset in coming into the presence of the Lord? How many know Jesus was invited to be the guest at the house of Simon the leper? And as would have been the custom for the day, they should have offered him a basin of water to wash his feet from his journey. They should have anointed his head because of the heat of the day and refreshment. Just as a matter of hospitality, they should have offered those things to him. But how many know the mindset of Simon, as we can see it probably in this scripture, the mindset of Simon is, hey, I'm inviting Jesus to come to town. This is going to make me look pretty good among all my peers and all those that are around me. Look, I got Jesus at my table at my house today. And perhaps if he really is the Messiah, if he really is this Jesus we've heard about, maybe he'll bless my house, or maybe it'll look good on me or favorable on me to have Jesus in my midst. Hallelujah. But how many know there was one who came to the house that day? We don't even know if she was invited. We don't know if she was a servant. We don't know much about her, except that we know that the scripture tells us that her sins, which were many. We don't know what her sins were. We don't know what her past was. It doesn't really matter. But chances are she was what they would have called on the Lucy show, or one of them, the Wicked City Woman. She had a past. She had some issues. She was a sinner. But it's funny to me that Simon knew who she was. Simon knew her story and knew all about her. We don't know why Simon or how Simon knew her, but he knew she had a past. But the scripture says she came into his presence. And when she came into his presence, she didn't come in with a basket saying, Lord, I've come for you to bless me today. I've come for you to heal me. She didn't. The scripture doesn't even say she came into the house asking for forgiveness or wanting salvation. She came into the house of Jesus that day with the intent to pour out of her alabaster box everything that was probably her life saving. They said it was probably worth a year's salary. Don't raise your hand, but when's the last time you came to the house of the Lord and said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and put in a whole year's salary today because I just come to pour myself out before him. I mean, when you look at in that view of it, she made a great sacrifice to do what she did on that day. But she thought, she came into the house and she began to break open her alabaster box and she began to pour it on the feet of Jesus. And as she poured it on the feet of Jesus, how many know something welled up inside of her, a worship and a praise started welling up inside of her to the place she was moved with tears and she began to weep and to cry before him and pour out her praise on him with her prayer and with her tears and with her thanksgiving to him and began to break open that alabaster box. And when she did, she caught the attention of everybody in the room. Hallelujah. But how many know everybody's not on board with where you are sometimes? Everybody might not understand your journey. There's a song that says, you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. You don't know where I've been. You don't know where he found me. You don't know the moment that he wrapped his loving arms around me. But when I came in today, I knew I was a wicked city woman. I knew that I was a sinner, but I thought if I could just touch the feet of Jesus. And when I touched the feet of Jesus, everything inside of me desired to pour myself out, to pour out everything that I had on him today. I didn't come to ask him for anything. I come to pour everything that I have out on him. And how many know when you begin to pour out of your being and you begin to give out of your earnest, how many know it gets the attention of everybody else in the room? But what happens sometimes, we'll say, I don't know. I don't know if I'm worthy to do this. I don't know if it's my place. I mean, I know I got a past, and I know I don't belong amongst these Pharisees, and I don't belong amongst these religious folk, and I'm not all holy and righteous, but all I know is I need an encounter with Jesus today. And so I'm going to risk reputation. I'm going to risk the words of those who may be around me. I'm just going to go ahead and throw caution to the wind. I'm just going to go ahead and pour out my praise on him. Hallelujah. And Simon, who sat in the midst of them, said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman is touching him. Can I tell you this morning, he knows what manner of person it is that touches him. Hallelujah. He said to the woman at the well, went back to the village, and she said, he told me all things ever I did. This has got to be the Messiah. He knows all about me, and he loves me anyway. He had a need to go by Samaria. He needed to stop and visit with me today. I needed him, but he needed to have an encounter with me. And how many know the scripture says she had an encounter with Jesus, and when she started to say it, Jesus says to her, go call your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And he says, I know. And you've had five husbands. The one you're with now is not your husband. That you've truly said. How many know he knew all about her before he ever even talked to her? And besides that, a Jew would have never had any dealings with a Samaritan, and a man would never have given a drink to a woman. How many know Jesus is one who will step outside of the box and go beyond protocol and go ahead and break the rules if he has to get to one little woman who's seeking something to drink? He said, if you'll go ahead, ma'am, go ahead and ask me today for a drink, because I'll not just give you a drink, but I'll cause you to be a well springing up. I'll cause you to be a well. I'm going to send you back into your village, and you're going to be so full and bubbling and running over that the village folk are going to say, we got to go see this man. Hallelujah. I mean, when she goes back into her village, she said, you got to come see this man. He told me all things ever I did. Could this not be the Messiah? Hallelujah. How many know when the change takes place in your heart, you got to tell somebody. You got to share it with somebody. I want you to know this morning, the power of an encounter with the presence of the Lord is what will change your life every time. And here's what happens sometimes. You can be so dead set on your way, going your own way, doing your own thing, thinking you don't need him. And what happens is you run smack dab into him somewhere in your journey, and you find out that even if you're home by yourself after back surgery, the power of the Holy Ghost is still there. Wherever you are, the encounter and the presence of the Holy Spirit that comes over you in the car going down the road, and you just begin to weep before the Lord because something in that song on the radio just touched a part of your being that deep calls to deep, and you said, that's the presence of my Jesus. Hallelujah. And so as she sat there and she breaks open her alabaster box, everything she ever did. And chances are the way she paid for that alabaster box of ointment was not creditable. And he said, if Simon says he knew what kind of woman this was that was touching him, he's not a prophet, or he'd have known that that woman should not be touching him. And Jesus, not hearing Simon saying it, knowing Simon's thoughts, said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. You being the Pharisee, I came into your house. Let's have a little talk, Simon. I came into your house. You withheld the basin of water from my feet. You withheld the refreshment. You withheld everything from me. But I want to tell you, somebody came to the house today, and somebody didn't hold anything back. They come with a heart of giving, a heart of pouring out, a heart that says, I don't care what it costs me today. I don't care what the neighbor has to say. I'm going to go ahead and lift my hands. It may not feel right the first time. It may make me a little bit uncomfortable. Somebody might say, what they do in raising in their hand in church, I know all about them, but you go ahead and raise it anyhow. You go ahead and pour yourself out on him anyway, because it really doesn't matter what Simon has to say about who's touching him. I mean, no, she was the one who went away, and Jesus said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. If you want peace today, the greatest way to receive peace is to pour your heart and your life out on him. Go ahead and turn on a deaf ear to whoever sits around you. How many know there's a Simon everywhere that wants to point out your flaws, wants to point out your failures, wants to talk about your sins, wants to say who you are, but that Simon is not the one who's down at his feet pouring out his praise on him. Hallelujah. See, I've come to the place in my life, it really doesn't matter who knows, who sees me, what you think about me. Whether you love me, they hate me, whatever it is, hallelujah, because I've had such an encounter at his feet, I can't go back and I can't do it any other way. How many know I come to pour my praise on him? I come to give him everything that I have. I didn't just come to the house with my cup lifted up, say, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up. How many know I come with a bucket so I could splash it out on somebody else? How many know sometimes if your cup seems like it's empty, go ahead and get somebody who's got a bucket full. You got to get in the splash zone sometimes. Go ahead and get in the flow of the alabaster box. Go ahead and get in the flow of the anointing. If you don't have it in you today, go ahead and sit beside somebody who does. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because the only way to silence the voice of Simon is to just go ahead and break protocol. Step outside your box and say, you know what, I'm going to pour out. And what the scripture says, wherever the gospel is preached, this story is going to be told. Hallelujah. Now, you know, there's a saying that says, well-behaved women rarely make history. Now, I caution you on how you approach that. But how many know sometimes you got to get a little crazy about things in a good kind of way? How many know sometimes you got to step outside of the box? Hallelujah. When somebody says, I don't believe in the moving of the Spirit, you say, that's okay. But you come too late to tell me because I've already been in the move. I don't believe in baptism. It's okay, but I've already been baptized. And if you don't believe in that, that's all right. I don't believe in those gifts of the Spirit. I don't believe in those speaking. I don't believe in those holy rollers. I don't believe. It's okay because that's your belief system. But you came too late to tell me that the presence of God can't be felt, can't be experienced, can't be touched. The scripture says we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I have every right to sneak in. That woman who had the issue of blood thought she had to sneak in from behind. I want to tell you this morning, none of you had to sneak in here today. You didn't have to crawl in through the crowd. You didn't have to stand back and say, I don't have a right to touch him. I'm unclean. I'm unrighteous. You don't know what I've been through this week. You don't know what I've said. You don't know what I've thought. You don't know what I've done. I don't, and I don't want to know, because all I do know is I serve a merciful Savior, and it's not just about me touching him. It's about him touching me, and when he touches me, his virtue flows, and when his virtue flows to me, it makes me every whit whole. Hallelujah. Did it take some effort on my part? You better believe it. It took me making up my mind, saying, I don't care what the crowd says today. I don't care if they think I'm unclean. I'm tired of living the way I've been living. I'm tired of being on the outskirts. I'm tired of being untouchable. And today I'm going to break tradition. I'm going to crowd surf. I'm going to do whatever I got to do, but I'm going to touch Jesus today. Because today I'm not going home the same way that I came. I mean, that woman was in that condition for 12 long years.
12 long years, ladies, is a very long time to have a blood flow. She was way due to have a healing. Hallelujah. She was way due to have a healing. How many know sometimes she had to make a bold move? You got to thrust yourself through and say, you know what? Today's my day. Today's my day. I'm done living on the outskirts and on the edge. I'm tired of gleaning in the fields when I can marry the man. I'm tired of settling for less than what God purposed in my life. Is there anybody in the house today that says, I'm ready. I'm so ready for everything God promised for me. I'm vowing my heart. I am not living on the outskirts and gleaning the scraps of what is on the outside. I'm coming in. I'm coming in. I'm approaching him. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment in the fact that maybe I can go away whole and clean and healed today. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes when you go ahead and decide to break open that alabaster box and that fragrance starts to fill the room? How many know it starts getting the attention of other people in the room, and all of a sudden somebody else is going to start experience the pleasure of the aroma that's in the house. Do you hear what I'm saying? How many know sometimes it just takes somebody to step out and start a dance? Somebody to step out, lay hands on somebody. Somebody to step out in the room. Hallelujah, and respond to what God is speaking to you or what God is requiring of you. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes if we'll just make the first step? Hallelujah. He'll be right there every step of the way to bring that change in our life. You know, I think sometimes we think if we don't do it in a certain plan or a certain pattern, then it doesn't work. But how many know you can receive Jesus Christ sitting right in your pew right now where you are right now? Amen. Right now, it's as simple as saying, Lord, I receive your word. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your grace. Father, forgive me of my sins. And Father, I pour out my life on you right here, right now. This altar is always open in this house. It never closes. If the Spirit hits you and you need to pray, you come pray. If you need to repent, you come repent. If you need time there, it's okay. But how many know you can lift your hands right here in this pew, in this hour, in this season and say, Lord, I receive you. I receive everything that you have for me. Hallelujah. How many know there have been many a people got saved driving down the road, kneeling down by grandma's rocking chair, out in the field, in a tree stand somewhere when they just begin to pour their heart out to Christ and Jesus will meet you wherever you are. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes it's just a matter of saying, I made up my mind today when I'm in the presence of Jesus, I'm going to pour out on him. I'm going to anoint his feet. I'm going to minister to him today. I'm going to thank him for everything he's already done for me. Does anybody in the house have something to thank him for today? Something you can say, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, that you give me opportunity to be in your presence. Hallelujah. How many know there was another instance in John chapter 6? Where Jesus is in the multitude of the crowd. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes those that walked with him still did not understand who he was and what he was about and what he could do? How many know the disciples, most of the time when Jesus did a miracle, they were still surprised? How many know his disciples today sometimes were still surprised when God does a miracle? Amen. I mean, they're still trying to figure him out. Hallelujah. They're still trying to figure out his plan, his motives. But in John chapter 6, if you go ahead and bring that up, at verse 1, remember, we're still talking about a mentality that brings something. Wise men bring gifts. Hallelujah. We bring our tithes. We bring our offerings. We bring our talents. We bring our presence. We bring our spice. We bring whatever it is that we have that we can offer. Hallelujah. And how many know sometimes we are not truly in a position maybe that you may be able to give at times, and even though your heart desires to, but how many know if we'll take a step of faith, God will meet you there. And God will build on whatever it is that you give seed to. Amen? How many know we plant seed every time we sow a blessing or we sow goodness? And you know, how many know sometimes you just love to just sneak in and give a praise or give a blessing and sneak back out? Nobody even knows you've been there. How many know those are the best kind of blessings? Hallelujah. When you just do that Jehovah sneaky move, you just sneak in and bless somebody and sneak back out. Nobody even knows about it. Hallelujah. But how many know in this scripture, it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. How many know they are following him for his miracles and for what they can receive from him while they're there? They're following him, the scripture says, because they saw his miracles. They're waiting for a show. They're waiting to see what he can do for them. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto him, unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, before I go to the next verse, how many know they said it's the time of the feast of the Passover. How many know the feast of the Passover was the communion meal? It was the Last Supper. It was the bread of his body. It was the wine that was drinking, his blood. How many know it's commemorative of, before at this time, it was commemorative of the Exodus up out of Egypt. How many know the Passover, and it was also the commemorative of the lamb in the house, his body which was broken, his blood that was to be shed. While he's in this company, he says, he lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He's asking Philip, Philip, what are we going to do? These people are hungry. What are we going to do to feed them? Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. We can't afford to feed them. We can't afford to do it, Lord. We don't have the resources. We can't afford to give bread to this multitude, that every one of them could even have just a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, Andrew gets an idea. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Hold up there just a minute. Andrew says, Philip says, I don't know, Lord, what we're going to do to feed them. If we had 200 pennyworth, we could not afford to meet the needs of the multitude. We can't afford to meet the needs of the community. We can't afford, we don't have the resources that this multitude needs. But Andrew has a different mentality. He says, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are we going to do with those? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Jesus comes into the midst of the multitude, and the multitude is hungry. Can I just tell you, there is a multitude of people that are hungry for the things of God. They've heard about the miracles. There might be some coming to see the miracles. There might be some coming to see what he can do for them. But how many know one person that we know of, okay? One person that we know of out of that crowd of 5,000 people came with a different mentality on that day. For whatever reason, out of 5,000 men that were gathered together there, there was a young lad who came that had either packed his lunch or mama had packed his lunch and sent him out for the day and said, son, today you're going to be in the presence of Jesus. So however long you got to be there, you stay. Here's a lunch for you to take with you because today is your day to have an encounter with Jesus. So don't let anything stop you from staying where you are. Somebody came to the revival meeting on that day and said, you know what? I'm not just going to go for what I can receive. I'm not just going to receive a miracle. I'm going to go with full hands. I'm going to go with something in my hands. I'm going to go with what I can give to the multitude. It may be like seem like something little, but who knows what Jesus might do with my little. Hallelujah. Somebody had a different attitude and said, I'm going to go with my hands full. I'm going to go with something to give to him. I'm going to go with something that might be presented. Andrew gets a revelation of it. He says, we got some seed bread right here. We got some seed. We could sow some seed, but I don't know how we're going to heal the multitude. When I told you before, the disciples still didn't truly understand everything and everything that Jesus was and did and came to do. He says, there's a young lad here who came with his hands full. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among the so many? You might say sometimes, Lord, what can I give? What do I have to offer to you? It seems like such insignificant. It seems so little. It seems like I don't have much to give to you. But I'm going to tell you this morning, if you'll give what you have, if you'll give what he's placed in your hands, if you give what you have in your possession, how many know he has the ability to take that and multiply it and give it to the multitudes and the multitudes that will be fed. But here's what I love. Hallelujah. How many, Philip starts out saying, we can't afford it, Lord. We don't have it. I mean, no, we sometimes say, I can't afford to give. Well, you really can't afford not to. How many know you miss out on such a blessing sometimes? And what happens is he takes what little that this lad has to give, and Jesus begins to take the bread, and he blesses the bread, and he breaks the bread, and he gives it out to the multitude. And all of a sudden, the multitude did eat and were filled. And not only did they eat and were filled, everybody say leftovers. Hallelujah. I like leftovers. Amen. I'm one of those people that just soon take leftovers as to fix a new fresh sandwich. But how many know what happened is here's the deal. The disciples start out saying, Lord, I don't even know how we're going to do this. You ever been in a situation where you say, Lord, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how this is going to happen. Hallelujah. But he says, we got a lad here that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus takes what they give. He takes what they have, and he begins to bless it and break it and distribute it to the multitude. And the scripture tells us, and they take up what? 12 baskets full of that which remained. Now, here's what I love about this. When they began to take and break the bread, and they began to distribute it to the multitude. How many know they began to pass out everything that God had begun to multiply and God had begun to bless them with. And they began to feed the multitude. And they began to feed the men that had gathered that day. All of a sudden they found out, you know what? I got a basket full to take back home with me. There were 12 disciples and there were 12 baskets full of fragments left over. How many know there was a basket full left over for everyone who had passed out a little bit to the multitude? How many know for everything that they had passed out? God saw to it they had a basket full of fragments left over to take back home to your house. Can I tell you, he will not leave you desolate. He will not leave you without when we present what we have to him. Hallelujah. It's one of the greatest opportunities that we have when we have a mindset that says, Lord, I'm not just coming today for everything that I can receive. I'm coming for what I can give. Because who knows that in the midst of that multitude that was fed on that day, what they had the power to go out of that encounter and do to everyone they came in contact with. Hallelujah. How many know It's a great opportunity when you offer to him the gifts and the blessings that he's given to you. Hallelujah. It's a great opportunity. Sometimes you got to go to whatever lengths you got to do to see to it that the multitude is fed. How many know we cannot feed the multitude unless we start somewhere? You got to start somewhere. And you can look at the multitude and say, well, we can't meet that need. We can't do that. We can't build that. We can't remodel that. We can't fix that. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Hallelujah. How many know you have to have a vision, and then you just have to start? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. If you can't see it, it's hard to get there. But how many know you've got to envision it first, and then step out on faith? Anybody in this house say, I've stepped out on faith before, not knowing how in the world we're going to get from point A to point B. But by faith, we step out and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I trust you, God, with my relationships. I trust you with my marriage. I trust you with my kids. I trust you with my health. I trust you with my finances. I trust you with everything in my being, Father, because you won't forsake me. You won't fail me. You won't leave me. Hallelujah. But in our pouring out, how many know he pours back into us? Amen? In our pouring out, he sees to it that we have everything that we need in our basket. Hallelujah. Now let me say this morning. Hallelujah. Sometimes you're in a position saying, God, I need you to move on my behalf. I need finances. I need the house paid. I need the bills paid. I need the electric bill. I need you to move, Father, on my behalf. The bills are bigger than my faith right now. Don't raise your hand, but anybody ever been there said, Lord, the bills are bigger than my faith at times. Or I've been in situations where I don't see the end from the beginning. But how many know that he said, if we'll have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. I know he's talking also about the mountain of the law and Mount Sinai. But how many know faith moves mountains? He said to the woman, he said, your faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Hallelujah. Your faith has saved thee. How many know you gave out of what you had, not thinking about what tomorrow might bring. And because of that, how many know she went home that day in peace? Hallelujah, and receiving everything that God had for her. How many know it's a different mentality? I'll just touch on this and then I'll close with this. How many know when the prophet Elijah comes to the house of the widow woman and they're in a time of famine? How many know in a time of famine it's hard to give? Amen? But he says to her, ma'am, would you bring me a drink of water? And she goes in obedience. And the scripture says, Elijah, I need you to go to the widow of Zarephath because I have prepared a woman there to sustain you. How many know God had already prepared or made provision before Elijah had ever gotten there? And he says to her, I need you to bring me a drink of water. And this, and then while she's on her way, and he says, oh, and while you're at it, could you go ahead and fix me a little meal and bring it to me too? And in her obedience, in the small things, she could say, you know what, man of God, I can get you a drink of water. But in case you haven't realized, there's a famine in the land. And if I'm not mistaken, you caused the famine and we don't have food. We're in a famine. We're in a drought. We're without right now. I have a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal and I'm going to feed my son and we're going to die. So let me make it clear, man of God, are you asking me for that last meal that I was going to feed my son today? Because I don't know, Kelly, if I got it in me to give you my son's dinner. I can give you my dinner. But I don't know if I can give you my son's dinner. He said, you go ahead and give me. And God's going to pour into you. How many know it's one thing to give up your meal for the day? It's another thing to give up your baby's meal for the day. How many know it's going to take some faith and some preparation that God prepared a widow woman to sustain you? He said, you go ahead and bring me what seems like the impossible. And the scripture said, and she went and she prepared out of obedience to the man of God, and she brought him a meal, and she brought him a drink, which seems so far out of crazy. How many know sometimes God just says things that just seem crazy? God just does things sometimes that just seem crazy. But how many know she just said, here it is, man of God, and she gave him what she had, the little bit of meal and the little bit of oil. And he said to her, because you have obeyed and you've not withheld from me, he said, your cruse of oil is not going to run dry and your barrel is not going to give empty until God send rain upon the earth. Not only am I going to put meal in your barrel and oil in your pot, but I'm going to make you a testimony among your people that God's faithfulness God was faithful even in the midst of famine and even in the midst of drought. Not only am I going to bless you, but everybody around you is going to see that God has made provision even in the midst of famine in your life. Hallelujah. Sometimes it just seems crazy, but God can take what seems crazy and do the miraculous with us. Hallelujah. I want you to be challenged in your heart today. I want you to be challenged to trust God in areas of your finances, in areas of your giving, in areas of your talents, in areas of your ability, whatever it is. I'll just say to you, start small. Malachi said, go ahead and try me, prove me, test me, try it out and see. Go ahead and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't hardly contain. I mean, no, you got to start somewhere. Hallelujah. It may seem like a little bit of meal, and it may seem like a little bit of oil, but you go ahead and trust God. Hallelujah. And how many know that God can do the miraculous in the midst of your life and in your family? Hallelujah. He not only wants to do it for you. How many know God doesn't just want to make himself real to you? He wants to make himself real to you and your household and your children and your children's children. Hallelujah. I mean, I invest in the kingdom of God, not for just what I can get out of it. I invest in the kingdom of God for what my generations will get out of it. Hallelujah. How many know for generations to come, I want there to be a hill and a church and a house that people can always come to find the grace and mercy of God, and a place of refuge and a place of safety and a place of provision that they can say, God has moved on that hill. God is faithful to those people, and I can teach the generations yet to come, hallelujah, the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord. When Joshua and them came up crossed over the Jericho, he said, go ahead and grab some stones out of the middle of the brook. And when you get to the other side, pile them up, because there's going to come a day when the children of the generations are going to look back to that pile of stones and said, what meaneth those piles of stones there? And he said, you go ahead and say to them, that was the faithfulness of your God to your fathers and to the generations, that God crossed us over on dry ground and brought us to the land of plenty and the land of promise. Do you believe that today? Amen. Hallelujah. I believe it. And I believe he's challenging us in our heart. Amen. With a different mindset. Beth, come on and play. With a different mindset and a different mentality. Hallelujah. Lord, what is your desire of me? What do you desire of me today? Hallelujah. Not just what he can do for me, and I believe he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Hallelujah. But how many know sometimes in our response to him, God opens avenues and doors and pathways, hallelujah, for blessing and provision in his house. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over in the New Testament, there was another kind of widow. And when she came to the temple of God, she threw in her 2 mites, the scripture said. And Jesus said to those, the Pharisees and those, the religious folk in the house who had given out of their plenty, and he said, you guys have given out of your plenty. She has given out of her need, and she has given more than you all. How many know it's not about the amount that you give? Hallelujah. It's about your faithfulness in giving. Hallelujah. And again, I'm not just talking finances, or I'm not just talking tithing and offering, and I believe I'm a firm believer in tithing and offerings, but I'm also talking about your talents, your abilities, and the giftings and the treasures that are in the treasure house in this house today. Amen. How many know there's some treasures in this house? And they said they opened their treasures, they opened their luggage, and they presented their gifts unto him. Hallelujah. Presented their gifts unto him. Hallelujah. If you're in this house this morning and you say, God, I hear the word, I hear the challenge in my spirit, but I have no idea how to make this happen. I don't know how to talk my spouse into it. I don't know how to, I don't even know where to start, Lord. I just want you to, you don't even have to lift your hands. I just want you to lift your heart to heaven and say, God, I accept your challenge. Teach me. Help me to hear your word, God. Help me to hear your direction. Father, for everyone in this house that is struggling financially, in Jesus' name, Lord, I break every stronghold of finance or poverty mindsets in this house, God. And I release, hallelujah, I release financial blessings and provision, Father, in this house, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you cause us to plant seed. Father, that seed may grow and abound, not just for our account, God, but everyone around could see your faithfulness in every need. Hallelujah. Father, I bless those who have given in this house, Father, who have brought us to this place. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for every alabaster box that's been broken, every fragrance that's ever filled the room, God. For everyone who ever came with their hands full of a barley loaf or a fish and said, Lord, this is all I have, but all that I have I give unto thee. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray multiplication in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we pray over this assembly in this house into the year 2015. And God, we pray a year of increase. Father, not just in numbers, Father, because it's not about numbers, Father, but it's about hearts that are changed, lives that are touched, communities that are changed, multitudes, hallelujah, that are changed by your glory and by your presence, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And God, I declare your provision. Hallelujah. A year, Father, in Jesus' name, for you to do the unexpected in our lives, God. Hallelujah. Lord, for you to do the unbelievable in our lives, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I pray that no mindset hold us back, Father, for pouring unto you and blessing you in this day. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.